Hold on. Okay, we begin. We are doing the Rambam, Chametz Matzah, Paraches, Halacha Yudalef, and the Mefil Mamre pagination. And this is dealing with the topic of eating roasted foods on the Seder night. Makom Shenagula Chaltzli Tzali V'Leli Psachim. In the community place where they eat roasted on Pesach night, Oakland. So it wasn't a universal custom in the time of Rambam. Makom Shenagula Shlola Chol in Oakland. They don't eat. Why? Why does that community not eat roasted meat? Gezeira Shema Yomer Basar Pesachu. Less people make the mistake. Say, oh, this roasted meat. Oh, they're eating the Korban Pesach. But we're talking about obviously in a time when, presumably, this is in a time when the Korban either doesn't say, but you imagine it means in a time. Well, that's a good question. Is it talking about after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash? Or even during the time of Beit HaMikdash, and people say that, hey, obviously, if you're in Yerushalayim and you have a Korban Chagiga, Korban Pesach, there's no problem. But let's say you were a guy who didn't get in. Let's say you didn't get in and you weren't able to bring your Korban because you were shut out. They had three groups, and they had a limited space in the Azara, in the courtyard. You didn't get in. So would you probably, and let's say you are, well, why don't we have lamb chops anyways? So I wonder, but this seems, my gut is that this is talking about a custom that developed post-destruction of the body. So some communities, they didn't have a problem. You can have roasted meat, no problem. In the communities that they did, why would you? Because you're going to say that you're in the Korban Pesach. In every place, now, in every community, it's aser to eat a roasted lamb. If you roasted a lamb in its entirety, it's forbidden to eat on this night. It looks like you're eating korban meat outside. I guess outside Yerushalayim. So this is what we're talking about post-Mikdash. If it's sliced up, or it's missing a limb, or you roasted the whole thing, but you then cooked, you boiled one limb of it and still attached, the makom shenagdu. Okay, so let me put this all in clarity. He says, everybody holds that you cannot eat entire roasted lamb, if that's not the Korban, because it's a gezeira, it's like a kind of, a mar sign that looks like you're eating the Korban Pesach outside the, outside Yerushalayim with the Mikdash, okay? Now, then yes, then there's, then, however, then beyond that, that everybody agrees upon. I can't eat a roasted lamb in its entirety on the Seder night. Because of the Gzeir, it looks like I'm eating Shvutei Chut. Well, I'm eating Kachim Befut, not Shvutei Chut. Kachim Befut. Okay. Now, in the communities that prohibited further,
Alicia, we're in Yud-Aleph, by the way.
Thanks.
Yeah. Where they did not prohibit it, so then you could have a roasted lamb, which would be sliced, or a part of it, or if it's boiled. So one of my friends is a Yemenite Jew, and they remember in Israel that before Pesach, they would actually have a lamb. They would slaughter that lamb, and they'd roast it, and they would not eat the whole thing, but like apparently in their community, they had, they of course didn't eat the whole roasted lamb on the Seder night, but they had lamb meat on the Seder. chopped up, was not a problem. So it was in Makom Shenav Lecho Tzoli. Now the Ashkenazi community is extremely makbid. They take it all the way down, not only a lamb, any meat, not only meat, turkey and chicken. And unless you cook it additionally with what? With some sort of
liquid.
Which, of course, removes its identity of being Tzoli, which means, you know, flame roasted. Now, so that's the halacha. Question.
What's this, before we even talk about, I guess this just occurred to me, what's this language of Shenagu? It's a mitzvah to eat the korban. If you don't, can't eat it, then you don't eat it.
So that seems to talk about, we're talking about post Beit Mikdash times when there is no korban festival.
Okay, so I guess so he's not even going to bother saying that during the times of the Mikdash you eat.
Right, no, obviously in the time of the Mikdash you're having the korban chagiga and you're having the and as well as the korban pesach, and that's the mitzvah, of course, that's the obligation. But post pesach, post Mikdash, we can't offer the korban pesach. There is one prohibition, which is I cannot eat a whole flame roasted lamb on the Seder night. It looks like I'm eating the kachin outside of the proper place. A. And then beyond that, there were two communal customs. Some that would still eat roasted meat provided the meat was not looking like the korban, i.e. it's only a part. Or part of it is chopped up, or it's, you know, you cut off, you saved, you roasted the lamb, but you saved one or two legs for the next day. So it's not a whole lamb. Or you boiled some of it.
So Makom Shenagu Lechol Tzoli B'Leili Psachim Ochlin. What is that exactly? Does that mean in places where the custom is to eat?
All right. So for example, they would have no problem eating a pot roast, or, you know, a steak. They'd have a steak and broiled chicken and
things that are cooked in a dry fashion.
Right, and even lamb, even a rack of lamb, no problem.
Okay.
What they're prohibited in is eating the entire roasted lamb.
Okay.
You know, roasted and presented in its entirety.
I see. Okay. So Makom Shenagu Shelo Lechol, so place where it's not, where the custom is to not do that thing, Eino Ochlin, you can't eat a gezeira because of a gezeira?
You know, you can't eat a gezeira because it was a decree, Shema Yomrud, lest they say that
it's not Pesach.
That this lamb, now that would imply that the concern is that the meat will look like the Korban Pesach. Well, what about a chicken? Okay, so the question is, why would the gzeira be extended to roast chicken that does not look like lamb meat at all?
Right. No one's going to mistake a whole roast chicken for a whole roast lamb.
No, but the people that say it's not, that even in the communities that say, I don't eat roasted meat, it seems to be saying...
There's two.
Right. So therefore, because I guess on the individual plate and you have some sliced up beef, it becomes unclear exactly where that flesh stemmed from.
Okay.
He doesn't say Makom Shenagu Lechol Tzoli. He doesn't say Makom Shenagu Lechol Tzoli min ha-tzef. You know what I'm saying? Right. The minhagim wasn't about, they made a minhag about just an entire category of food.
So that's what's curious, right? It seems like there's two qualities. There's dry roasting, and then there's the lamb itself. So if I'm dry roasting the chicken, right, it's a different meat. But if I'm going to braise a lamb shoulder, then it's the same meat, but it's a different cooking method.
Well, that everybody holds permitted. Right. Once it's taken out of Sully, you're permitted to eat everything. You could have five different kinds of, prepared five different ways, provided it's not
limited. It's not Sully.
Not Sully. And if you would Sully it, and then you would then, you know.
Put gravy on it.
Yeah, and then you cook it with the glaze. You put a glaze on it, right? It would be cooked with a liquid.
Okay.
So there are ways to cook chicken for a Seder night?
Yes. Very simple. Just add some liquid, which, you know, or better yet, some sort of sauces. You put on a duck sauce, chicken is fine.
Or soup chicken. Like you make chicken, so you need to take the chicken out.
Certainly fine. But you basically you take any meat you want, chicken, lamb, beef, and you just cook it, but with some additional sauces, and you're totally fine. Now,
with the Rambam, can I ask this question? When the Rambam says it's a gezerah, is he suggesting that the sages instituted this?
Yes. Which of course, which begs a question. What's the obvious question?
Can you say that again, Alicia?
The Rambam calls it a gezerah. So, which means he's not suggesting that it's purely minhag based. He's suggesting that it's a gezerah based on a minhag. Like, in a place where people do this, the sages decreed that you may not do this. As opposed to just making a general gezerah, it's a little bit odd. It's a gezerah which is dependent upon a particular minhag. Normally we say there's a minhag in this place to do this, and there's not a minhag to do this. And the minhag is a stringency. A minhag is not a gezerah. Minhag doesn't come from the rabbis, it comes from the people. And it doesn't even have the strength of a rabbinic decree by itself, but the Rambam is calling it a gezerah.
Right. Now, which of course is very, very interesting. So let me just check one. Let me just see what Yofei Magbili has to say about this. I want to check one thing first. Okay. Right, so the challenge with this, once he throws in the gezerah word, how could you have a gezerah by definition is a legislation done by the Sanhedrin, which is binding upon everybody. So once it's a gezerah, that contradict, how could it be a makom shenagu? You know what I'm saying? In other words, a community, you know, for example, Ashkenazim, 750 years ago, were having issues with their production of wheat and beans and lentils, of them commingling. So the Ashkenaz community, as a community, said, we're going to make a stringency, we're going to make a minhag, that we're not going to have what we call kidney yolk. They could do that. They've got nothing to do with Sanhedrin. Once you have a gezerah, that is a, unless you say the word gezerah means, not really means a, one answer is not, I think that's a shot. Gezerah here does not mean the formal technical legislative act of the Sanhedrin. It means that the community themselves made their own protective measure that we, in order to make people don't violate the rabbinic prohibition of eating a full roasted lamb, we're gonna make a very simple rule. No roasted meat. That's it, simple. No, we're not gonna make any chilukim. The other communities that didn't do that, they just said, no, you just can't have a complete roasted lamb, but if it's chopped up, or if it's partially boiled, or you know, if it's half of it, whatever, you're good to go. They didn't make it. Yeah, it does not mean gezerah in the, I think that proves the point. It does not mean gezerah as a act of a, it means gezerah as a form of minhag. In other words, I don't do A lest it turn into B. You know what I'm saying? Not that this was an act convened by the Sanhedrin. Otherwise, it's binding on everybody.
But in that case, it sounds like the word gezerah is completely superfluous. I mean, he didn't have to put it in there. It just creates confusion.
In Oakland, gezerah shem yom
could have just said makom shenahagu, makom shelo nahagu.
Yeah, but the gezerah means he's talking about they wanted to, they're creating a sort of a, they're making a fence. Or in Oakland, we don't eat it. Gezerah as a legislative reason, not legislative, but a preventative decree, lest one says that I'm eating the Pesach. So, well, first of all, let's actually, what was the fear of the community that says you can't have any roasted meat? What did they extend? I realize I made a mistake. That is not so simple. What are they? What was the nature of their minhag?
Of those who prohibit it?
Yeah.
Or the those who just don't. Well, I mean, it strikes me as like this Sfaradim who objected to kaparot, you know, because they it looks a little bit like a korban. You can't make any korban, you know, outside of the times of the Beit HaMikdash. So it, so even though you wouldn't offer a korban of a chicken,
No. The Shulchan Aruch's criticism of kaparot is far worse. A great, much greater indictment. He says the kaparot is darki amori. It looks it looks like you're doing the practices of the Amori tribe.
Yeah.
Tukas agoy. It's basically saying you're doing idolatry. Or you're doing a practice that is reminiscent of an idolatrous source of the you know, putting your sins you know, on a sympathetic magic way onto a chicken and waving it around. That's an Amori practice.
Well, I would assume the concern is that it could possibly be that somebody might get the impression that the animal that's being eaten at this Seder is in fact a korban,
right?
Because we know that Jews offered korbanoth, like in Egypt. I mean, they did offer korbanoth outside the Beit HaMikdash, and it was not like it happened.
Right. It does. It's not to say that they're going to say like, well, if I can have the roasted chicken, I can eat the roasted lamb. It's that they extended. In other words, the Chacham says you cannot eat a whole roasted lamb because that looks like that's literally what you're reenacting the Korban Pesach, and that's a and that's an issue of it looks like you're eating the korban outside the Mikdash, outside the Yerushalayim. So the communities that said we're going to make a further gzeira that any roasted meat looks like you're having korban meat. So we're going to, on the night of the Seder, where every Jew would make eat korbanos, we're going to say you can't have any roasted meat. So there'll be no confusion whatsoever. The other community says, no, we're going to say that there's a work, only a perfect reenactment, i.e. eating a roasted whole a lamb in its entirety, that's prohibited, and the Chachamim did that. Now, the question is, it just still strikes me as a little bit far-fetched. I'm a Jew living in, you know, Krakow in the 1300s. Let's say I have a whole roasted lamb. Why would I think I'm eating the korban? The Mikdash has been destroyed for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know what I'm saying? It's not like in the time of the base of Mikdash that I take my lamb and I keep on walking down. I go to Mevaser Sion or I go down to Tel Aviv. You know what I'm saying?
Funny that if you lived in Krakow in the 1300s, you'd also be living through the Black Plague, but that's beside
the point. Okay, all right. I understand that, but assuming that, I'm saying, what is that? There's a prohibition. Shenira ka'ochel kachem b'chutz. What does that mean? Shenira ka'ochel. Does it mean that? What are they trying to prevent? Is the guy really going to think I'm eating a korban pesach? The Mikdash is destroyed hundreds of years. What is this chash?
Right. Even though we know that Jews offered korbanoth outside the Beit HaMikdash, but like
that's
in Egypt
true.
They did, but.
But isn't that the whole nature of magical thinking? I mean, it's not thinking. The person isn't thinking. He's psychologicalizing.
All right. So if, in other words, you're saying that a guy who's sitting there, in other words,
he wants to believe that magically this works. That's the predisposition of
mankind. In other words, I want to be able to have I can't be in the Migdash. I want to roast the whole lamb just to give a little bit of a Korban Pesach-esque authentic flavor of that. He'll confuse like it's actually that it has that identity.
Right.
In other words, the blood, you're saying, Mendel, you're saying it means not that he's going to believe that he's eating the Korban Pesach in the sense of in historical reality. Just the opposite. That they don't want him to engage in a reenactment, which is identifying this with the identity of a Korban Pesach, which will then bring about all the negative ideas that people would of the ancient world toward animal sacrifice will then just be locked onto this roasted lamb. In other words, the korban, when it was done in the Migdash, was part of a voda. There are certain built-in safeguards to not make that into a magical act. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not perfectly, because Klai Yisrael failed. They did fail, but there's an avoda phenomena. But if I'm going to go roast the lamb in the backyard on a barbecue, right? And I'm going to, why do I want to do that? Because I want to sort of reenact. So I'm making, I want, it's like I'm basically the kind of bummer in the, as what Delisha's pointing out, that Jews, until they were allowed to offer up certain korbanos on their own makeshift mizbeach, until Shlomo built the Migdash. But there was tremendous regression, and everybody wanted to do their own little,
religious.
Everybody wants to have their own shul and their own breakaway kiddush, and do their own kind of Judaism.
Sounds like, Jewish.
That desire is universal. But here you're saying that the chachamim, not that. I'm gonna become psychotic and believe that this lamb was slaughtered and his blood was dashed on the mizbeach by the Kohen, and I'm trotting back to my house to roast it on a pomegranate staff in the shadow of the Har HaBayis. That's not the problem. You're saying is that no. You're saying the Chum says, we don't want you to reenact this, because basically what you're going to do is you're going to make that korban, your korban reenactment, quote unquote, as being an issue of like a and sort of like a chukas agoy style korban. In other words, a korban outside of chutei chutz does not mean that simply. Technically outside the boundaries, only geographically, but theologically, psychologically. That's your point.
I
think he's going to make it to a totem. He's going to make it into some sort of magical phenomenon by the reenactment.
Right.
So there are. So now it becomes not an issue of mistaken that I'm eating the korban or not. It becomes of like there's a certain emotion that the korban can channel that the chacham wanted to block. So clearly the full reenactment with a full roasted lamb, that's a problem. But yeah, a guy has four lamb chops, that's not the experience. So the Makom Shenaga says, okay, already there's no psychological chash.
It seems like you could separate it one of two ways. Either you're using a different meat or you're not using the same cooking method.
Right. It's, in other words, blocking the idolatrous religious impulse from connecting,
taking to, hold of the of this specific.
Right. In other words, so the sort of like the harmful religious emotions do not hijack this roasted lamb, and instead of making a leaving of Mitzrayim, it's a return to Mitzrayim.
Yeah,
is that what you're suggesting? I think that's a very creative shot. I think that's really. It solves a big problem. It's like, you know, when you read it, Shanira Ochel Kachem Bechutz. Yeah, I was thinking one thing. Really, I really think that I'm eating Kachem. There's no Migdash. The Migdash has not been around for 2,000 years. I'm really having that. So I think your shot, I think, is a. I want to give it some more thought. But I think it's a very a creative shot, and I think it's. It's
does anybody else have a different
going back to what going back to what Alicia says, he said something about the kaparot. Now it's full circle. Why did the kaparot minhag? You know, we have you know, the classic post Rambam Sfardi posek, Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, basically not just saying it is not our custom to do kaparot. He's saying you're involved in a biblical violation the Darki Amori.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Which if, insofar as repudiation, that's not a gun, that's a bazooka. Okay. Because that shows the same emotion. I want to have a little bit of control on kapara, so I'm gonna take this little chicken. Now, of course, I'll give it to tzedakah, you know, and then I'll say that this chicken's gonna die for my sins. This chicken's gonna be my baby Jesus. It's gonna die for my sins. And versus the hard work of actually changing my personality, which is, you know, to do real tshuva. You know, now of course the Rama defended the minhag, you know, arguing that it could be done in a it's not in providing kapara. It is sort of inspiring to do tshuva. In other words, it's not a it is a kapara. It is a inspiration thing. But interesting, the Vilna Gaon take on this was as follows. He said, the machlokas rishon, machlokas between the mechaber and the Rama. Yeah, but the mechaber says that according to him, you're going to violate a nisr d'oraisa. Versus, according to the Rama, you might fulfill an Ashkenazi custom. If there's that kind of thing, why would you risk that? That in the risk reward of halachic behavior, that's a bad bet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like
That's what the Vilna Gaon said.
Yes, on the kaparok. Yeah. So really, that. So I go back to Alicia. I say, Alicia, I retract my original point. Your kaparok point fits in nicely with Mendel to say, and sort of brings a sort of a meta understanding of that seemingly remote rabbinic law and the customs of the Jewish community's customs toward embracing that. All right.
So that's all from Ein Ochlin Gezerah. Shema Yomer Bisar Pesachu.
Right. Also, it's like, you know, that what they're really saying is not that the Jews are psychotic, that they're actually saying, oh, I'm taking this lamb from Harabias and I'm living in the year 50. No. It's blocking that. There's a let's call it a kaparis emotion of still participating in the Korban Pesach. But again, in a certain sense, outside the Avoda, highly regulated realm, and bringing out all these emotions that are don't have the grotesque look of the ancient world, but have just gone, you know, the superstitious and the primitive just gone into, you know, I'll give you the thing right now. I mean, I don't know. If you get any kind of text, anything about in response to the travails of the coronavirus, you know, say this tillim at 2:00. Now, why am I saying this tillim at 2:00? The Ram, there's a prohibition of lokash alamak. I can't take a pasuk, and I have a cut, and whisper this pasuk as an incantation. So why do I have to say it? In other words, if I'm saying tillim, because I want to be inspired, I wanted, and then as sort of as a psukkah to Zimra before a Mishnah Berach, or you know, that's laudable. But if I'm saying that certain times, that is the show called the poker tell of hello superstition idolatry, in a more sublimated fashion. Mm-hmm. It's a kaparis emotion. I'm not saying the Rama was an idolater. I'm saying the Rama would do kaparis in a proper way, as inspiring, as a custom that inspires tshuva, not as a sympathetic magic, this is the Jesus to remove sins from me. Or the custom of throwing bread into the water, the tashlich. Same thing.
That's a good one.
Okay, so that, what is that? You gotta call it out. You gotta call it out.
It seems to me also that the, you know, the Rambam doesn't cite customs that much, certainly not as much as, you know, is the Shulchan Aruch and other texts. He's more about this is the halakha, And by citing a custom here, it kind of fits within his general approach, and that is to say the essence is the ideal. The way you're supposed to do it is the way it is when we're in our land, we have a Beit HaMikdash, we have Korbanoth, and by the way, as an afterthought, if you don't have it, then you do this. In other words, to make a real distinction between the way it's supposed to be and this kind of ersatz version that we're doing right now. And by mentioning this minhag, he's giving strength to the idea that we have to be cognizant all the time that this isn't the real thing, right? Yeah. So we distance ourselves from even the suggestion that it looks like the real thing.
Correct.
There's some koach, there's some value to that.
And also my desire to try to say, well, this is the new and improved. This is, you know, because it's psychologically painful to accept the fact that I'm in Gullus. And what does that mean? I have a threadbare skeleton of a Judaism. I'm not entitled to, since we, the Jewish people, have I don't have a Mikdash, not because we can't build one, because it's not healthy for us. We're going to make it into an idolatrous castle. So therefore, but I can't take that painful exception. I can't accept it. It's very painful. That self-indictment is very harsh. So therefore what? I want to make what I do as the ideal. So agreement with Alicia's point again. In fact, there's an Ashkenaz minhag of eating eggs right before at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. Why? As a gesture of what? Of sort of a zecher, sort of an avelis on the Mikdash, like a little hint. Eggs was a traditional meal that in the Ashkenazic community, when a person loses a relative, they eat eggs, or given eggs in the Sudas Avra, the first meal provided by the community. And it's like, guys, we are involved in not the ideal. And the Ram, of course, in Perach has been, you know, in the Mikdash HaYikayim, we do A. What we do, B. Yeah, you know, ideal, sad reality. Ideal, diminished reality. But I think what the point here is that I think Mendel's point is that it's not just I have to be cognizant I have a bitty of a situation, but also there's a Avodah Zarah blocker that's been put into place. I think that idea is growing on me. I'm liking that.
Yeah. I'm saying it over from somebody else, I'm sure.